Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Leading medical groups say that dozens of large studies over decades have never found that acetaminophen, the key ingredient in Tylenol, causes autism. But President Trump announced Monday the FDA is notifying doctors that pregnant women should not take Tylenol because of an increased risk of autism. He said that these women should be urged only to use Tylenol for medical issues like an extreme fever.
It's a small number of cases, I think. But if you can't tough it out, if you can't do it, that's what you're going to have to do. You'll take a Tylenol, but it'll be very sparingly.
Today, the president will speak at the United Nations. The White House says his speech will focus on the negative impacts of global institutions. Attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs say he should be sentenced to no more than 14 months in prison for his conviction on prostitution charges. His lawyers say he should go home to his family after his acquittal on more serious sex charges. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. With all the negativity and polarization in the news lately, it appears that TV viewers just want to watch people dance. Dancing with the Stars premiered last Tuesday night and pulled big numbers with almost 6 million viewers. That's a big improvement over last season. There was also a big uptick in the votes cast by viewers, with 21 million total for an increase of 163%. The real reason for the rise in viewership, according to critics, is star power. If you're still watching Disney, check it out on Tuesday nights. Speaking of Disney, if you're upset about Jimmy Kimmel Live being suspended by Disney and ABC, check out Last Week Tonight on HBO. It is an absolutely brilliant show, both funny and informative. Fresh off his Emmy win for Outstanding Scripted Variety Series and Outstanding Writing for a Variety Series, John Oliver went after Nexstar and Sinclair for cozying up to the FCC. During the episode, Oliver, self-deprecating as always, said he fully expects to be deported back to the UK. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new pitcher for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. A new starting pitcher tonight for Milwaukee when the Brewers face the Padres in San Diego. He's 30-year-old left-hander Bruce Zimmerman, called up over the weekend to take the place of Brandon Woodruff, now on IL with a strained lat. The Brewers losing last night to the Padres 5-4 in 11 innings. San Diego clinched their spot in the postseason for a fourth time in the last 6 years. NFL. The Packers had a field goal block Sunday that could have been a game winner against the Browns. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
The unfortunate thing about special teams in general is when there is a mistake, there are catastrophic mistakes. I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across the league is placed on punt. Bottom line with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, Jimmy Kimmel is back on the air. We'll explain what it means for free speech here in Wisconsin. And Badger football head coach Luke Fickell under fire. We'll discuss your chance to win green and gold tickets in Green Bay continue.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today with highs in the lower 70s. Some patchy fog possible tonight, otherwise partly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. Some patchy fog through mid-morning on Wednesday, otherwise skies mostly sunny with highs in the lower 70s. It's 58 at our studios.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, some seasonal fun in Wisconsin's many pumpkin patches and corn mazes, plus our weekly visit with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
70 AM.
The Zone.
Well, these recent showers have put a bit of a damper on the start of harvest here, but that always just seems to be our luck. You know, it dries off, and then as soon as harvest starts, it gets wet again. But welcome, everyone. I'm Ben Jarbo along with you this Tuesday morning, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. In just a few minutes, we'll check in with Stu Muck to see if we will have some good field drying weather coming up. And with it being Tuesday, John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, will be joining the show later in the hour. And today he's going to tell us more about what's happening within the cattle industry. And with World Dairy Expo coming up quickly, let's hear from some dairy royalty. Kylie Allen has a talk with Josie Bailey, the 2025 National Guernsey Queen, on her story that starts in Toma. Pam Yonke joins the show to have a chat with our friends over at the Steffes Group to see what's hot and what's not at the auctions. Coming up next, I have a chat with Lieutenant Bill Berger on some DOT standards and roadway safety as we start to see more ag machinery on the roads for harvest. Make sure to stick around.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is building strong farms for a strong future right here in America's Dairyland. Join them and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on October 1st and 2nd at 1 p.m. at booths 3403 and 3404 in the exhibition hall.
Axiota Animal Health is focused on science-based solutions for dairy animal health. Multimin 90 provides a blend of injectable vitamins. Lactopro helps support high-energy diets. Learn more about Axiota on Thursday, October 2nd at 9:30 a.m. or visit axiota.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Throughout the state, farmers are getting back into the fields to harvest their crops. And although this time of year brings a lot of anticipation and excitement, it also brings about unique challenges on the roads. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And for farmers, these challenges go beyond just driving safely, with needing to stay within certain regulations. Lieutenant Bill Berger with the Wisconsin State Patrol Motor Carrier Investigative Unit is here to give some reminders and updates on these rules that farmers need to follow.
Well, with any time we have equipment on the roadway, it's important to make sure that things are in a safe operating condition. We'd ask that the farmers take a look at their commercial motor vehicles before they're needed to be used. Practice good preventative maintenance. Pay particular attention to the tires, brake components, steering components, and lights. When it comes to brakes especially, they're going to want to be looking at when you have air brakes, the brake hoses, make sure they're not cracking or frayed. Check for air leaks and make sure that the slack adjusters are in adjustment, unless they're automatic, of course. But it's just things that a lot of these farm vehicles aren't used throughout the year, and they may be sitting for a period of time. So when it gets to be time to use them, it's just good to do them a good once over and make sure that they're in safe working condition. We certainly would encourage farmers to take their commercial vehicles to a reputable mechanic that routinely completes federal DOT periodic inspections. And they'll certainly have a very good understanding of what to check for to make sure those trucks are in safe working order.
Well, and say a farmer does want to do this maintenance on them or by themselves, and they want to make sure it's federally up to date. What are some of those things that they definitely need to be looking at?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of those things that I just mentioned, tires, brake components, steering components, and lights are probably the, you know, the big highlights that really can have a drastic impact on safety if something goes wrong there.
And when we talk about when this equipment gets on the roadway, what are some things that you believe farmers should be keeping in mind when they're transporting their crop?
Well, you know, anytime you're operating on the roadway, there's just a wide array of things to be considering. Farmers need to understand that when they're operating commercial vehicles on a roadway, you know, they might think of themselves as a farmer and not so much of a trucker, but realistically, that's what they are at that moment. And they do need to be aware of the rules of the road for operating commercial motor vehicles. They need to be aware of weight laws and regulations that apply to them, and also driver's license requirements.
And you're mentioning those driver's license requirements for the farmers. As a reminder here, what are some of those weight requirements that dictate what license you need?
Well, when it comes to needing a commercial driver's license or CDL, the magical number is greater than 26,000 pounds. So if a vehicle is over 26,000 pounds, and it can be one of three things. It can be the registered weight of the vehicle, the gross vehicle weight rating of the vehicle from the manufacturer, or the physical weight with the vehicle and load on a scale, so to speak. If any of those three things exceeds 26,000 pounds for a single vehicle, then you'd be required to have a commercial driver's license. If you're pulling a trailer and that trailer is over 10,000 pounds and combined it's over 26,000 total with the two vehicles, then a Class A CDL or combination CDL would be required. Now, when it comes to farmers, if the farmer owns that vehicle and they're operating the vehicle for their own farm and their own purposes, not hauling for somebody else or helping a neighbor or anything like that, strictly a vehicle that's owned by a farmer, operated by the farmer, hauling the farmer's own products, then they fall under a farm waiver or a farmer waiver, meaning that they would be exempt from needing a CDL. So in those cases, if they meet the farm waiver requirements, they could travel anywhere in the state of Wisconsin and not need the CDL. If they cross state lines, they would have up to 150 miles from their farm before they would lose that waiver. Or in the state of Wisconsin, if they're hauling hazardous materials requiring a placard, then that waiver is limited to 150 miles in the state of Wisconsin as well, very similar to as if they were operating in interstate commerce.
And if a farmer is operating under these rules without having to have the CDL and they were to get pulled over, what are some of the things they should have on them to make sure that they are reputable and that they are staying within those guidelines?
Well, of course, you know, when we're dealing with driver's license, or who's ever operating that vehicle is going to have their driver's license carried with them. Not carrying the driver's license is a violation of itself. But they're going to want to have the insurance card with them as well, which is required to be carried. The driver's license, of course, registration certificates for the vehicle would be something else that's required. Pretty much a standard things that you would really expect to have if you were driving a passenger car and were stopped for some type of violation. You would have to carry those same type of items there as well.
For sure. And now if we kind of switch over maybe to those that are not farmers with schools starting up and stuff, people are going to be driving around them. What are some safety considerations for just standard people, civilians, that are going to be driving around this farm equipment?
Well, we all know that, you know, spring and fall, it's the busy season for agriculture here in Wisconsin. And at that time, we end up seeing a lot more ag vehicles on the roadway. So just because of that fall timeline, people need to be more aware of the presence of farm machinery. When you're coming on some of these town and county highways, you know, you run into more hills and things like that where visibility might not be as good as on a state or federal highway. Just be aware of that potential, that blind hill. There might be something on the other side of it to be preparing for before you even see it or know it's there. Just be conscious of those type of things. Something else to be concerned with is just be looking for the slow moving vehicle signs, the SMVs. They're the orange triangular sign that's pretty common to see in Wisconsin on the back of implement of husbandry type units. And those are going to warn that driver that, hey, we're going to be approaching that vehicle pretty quickly, because by default, that SMV signs means there's a slow moving vehicle in front of me. And if they're traveling at highway speed, they're going to close that distance rather quickly. So just paying good attention. Don't be distracted. Put the cell phones down. Just pay attention to what's in front of you on these at this time of the year, as any time of the year.
Lieutenant Berger also wants to remind farmers that when you are loading up the semis or wagons, if you're doing it on the road, there has to be at least 15 feet of unobstructed road for other cars to pass by. If not, you may be liable for a fine. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The WLAK Go for the Green and Gold text win contest is powered by Amory Chevrolet. Lifetime warranty, trusted service, hometown values. Amory Chevrolet, where people matter most.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
ABC capitulating, pulling Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Mark Jacob.
Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. The right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. The Turk thing is their pretext. 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. They didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney James Santel as we discuss the Supreme Court's dismantling of all independent agencies. Oh my goodness. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And then there's a dense fog advisory all the way from La Crosse in western Wisconsin up into the far northwest part of the state. In the far northwest, Park Falls, Hayward, that dense fog advisory in effect until 11 this morning. Now, we've also had that rain you talked about, a record at La Crosse yesterday, an inch and 7 tenths. Mauston reporting an inch and 2 tenths. And I see Madison only with a tenth of an inch. We look at Milwaukee, 82 hundredths of an inch. Racine, 49 hundredths. I get reports of about a half inch from my friend John over on the Armstrong area, eastern Fond du Lac County. And up on 23, 91 hundredths of an inch, a triple T right on 23. So rain all over the place yesterday. A cool front's dropped off to our south. That frontal boundary still pulling away from far southeast Wisconsin. May lead to a small chance of a little isolated rain in far east or southeast Wisconsin again a bit later today. I don't expect it to add up like yesterday, but a little rain is possible. Otherwise, more cloudy skies holding on. After all, the upper system just off to the south and just pulling that weak front down through southern Wisconsin, but it finally should begin to clear out of here. Temperatures a little cooler yet today and into Wednesday, and then warming up the end of the week, sounding much nicer. More of that sunshine returns, and with the sunshine, temps that push well up into the 70s could very well be 80s around here by Friday and very upper 70s for Saturday. Much better drying weather again. So if you've got a lot of that rain, the cornfield's too wet to get into today, just give it a couple of days on toward Thursday and Friday. Things should get a whole lot better, and it's going to seem a whole lot more like summer again. Even though fall officially did arrive yesterday afternoon, it didn't really seem like it. It might feel that way a little bit today or tomorrow, but the summer weather is going to be around again right on toward the end of the week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Today we're stepping inside a greenhouse that's more than just a place for plants. It's a story of family, hard work, and really a dream that grew from the ground up. At Honeymoon Acres in New Holstein, you'll find Joe and Marcy McShaw among rows of chrysanthemums. They tell me why they decided to get involved in agricultural tourism several decades ago and continue to enjoy it.
Well, I wanted to bring the best product we could, the best plants we could for the best price to make it affordable for everybody to enjoy plants. We're not after to be anything more than just the best place for people to come.
And we feel that there is a place in society to want plants, to have plants, and to learn about plants. For one thing, it's really good for your soul.
We're feeding souls.
Working in the ground is very grounding. It grounds people. It's very important to feed your soul.
Learn from destinations like Honeymoon Acres at gowiagtourism.com.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
All right, Stu, what else can we expect for drying weather this week?
It's going to be a little stubborn today. Of course, that dense fog advisory in the west and far northwest part of the state and up into northeast Wisconsin as well. Morning fog could be almost anywhere and mostly cloudy skies. Oh, there may be a little clearing in the west later today, but I really expect those clouds to be kind of stubborn. Very upper 60s and low 70s for highs, and winds are going to gradually be northeast almost anywhere at about 5. That small rain chance in the east or southeast late today. Overnight, mostly cloudy. Some of that fog redevelops, especially in the north, and we fall in the low to mid 50s with the northeast breezes. Tomorrow, another mostly cloudy day, a very slight rain chance in the east. I'd expect temps in the upper 60s, low 70s tomorrow. And by Thursday, some sunshine starts breaking back through. Temps start to climb lower mid 70s. I'd expect then upper 70s, maybe an 80 by Friday, Ben, and sunny and drier for the weekend. We're going to dry up the rain we saw even with over an inch and a half at La Crosse. Things ought to dry out.
I mean, it's only Tuesday, but this weather has me kind of looking forward to the weekend now.
Yeah, and maybe some football teams will win somewhere.
And I mean, my Bears did take home a win this weekend, so that was a good sports weekend for me besides the Illini.
All right, we'll hold that against you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Stu. That was Stu Muck giving us your ag meteorology weather update. Stay tuned in. Coming up next, we hear from our friends at the Steffes Group.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is, farmers don't have a choice. If the department decides they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But they say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they you know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this is I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Leading medical groups say that dozens of large studies over decades have never found that acetaminophen, the key ingredient in Tylenol, causes autism. But President Trump announced Monday the FDA is notifying doctors that pregnant women should not take Tylenol because of an increased risk of autism. He said that these women should be urged only to use Tylenol for medical issues like an extreme fever.
It's a small number of cases, I think. But if you can't tough it out, if you can't do it, that's what you're going to have to do. You'll take a Tylenol, but it'll be very sparingly.
Today, the president will speak at the United Nations. The White House says his speech will focus on the negative impacts of global institutions. Attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs say he should be sentenced to no more than 14 months in prison for his conviction on prostitution charges. His lawyers say he should go home to his family after his acquittal on more serious sex charges. This is ABC News.
a new pitcher for the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
A new starting pitcher tonight for Milwaukee when the Brewers face the Padres in San Diego. He's 30-year-old left-hander Bruce Zimmerman called up over the weekend to take the place of Brandon Woodruff, now on IL with a strained lat. The Brewers losing last night to the Padres 5-4 in 11 innings. San Diego clinched their spot in the postseason for a fourth time in the last 6 years. NFL. The Packers had a field goal blocked Sunday that could have been a game winner against the Browns. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
The unfortunate thing about special teams in general is when there is a mistake, there are catastrophic mistakes. I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across the league is placed on punt. Bottom line with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, unfortunately, more PFAS are showing up in Wisconsin's duck population. David Drake will be here to break that down and what that means. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today with highs in the lower 70s. Some patchy fog possible tonight, otherwise partly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. Some patchy fog through mid-morning on Wednesday, otherwise skies mostly sunny with highs in the lower 70s. It's 58 at our studios.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is, there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarba along with you this morning, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Well, you know, I usually talk fishing about this time. I was not able to get out there this last weekend because I was winning a championship with my men's league baseball team, the Madison Muskies, but I did hear of some good fishing starting to pick up. So if we are looking at that, I would still be aiming. I mean, we just had a heat wave kind of come in here. It's up in the 80s. But these fish, I think they're still moving up some because the water temp is still lower than it was a few weeks ago. So I would be aiming those weed lines, you know, 10 foot of water, be running crankbaits along the weed lines. You could even try a bladed jig because those are always good. I like throwing a paddle tail swim bait on the back of those. It really adds some good action on there if we're looking at bass and pike. And I have to say it again, if you are going for those bass, don't be afraid to throw that wacky rig. You know, I use the green pumpkin. It's clear. I mean, we have had an algae bloom, at least here in Madison. I'm not sure what it's exactly doing in other parts of the state, but that wacky rig is always going to get them. I mean, throw that down there on that weed line, same that you're throwing that crankbait and those bladed jigs, and just kind of work it slow. I feel like those always give you the best opportunity to get a bite. I feel like you can control the bite a bit more when you are throwing a wacky rig. Now let's take a listen in to Pam Bianchi as she has a talk with our friends over at the Steffes Group.
Changing it up a little bit on a Tuesday, welcoming in our friends from the Steffes Group. Same website as always, steffesgroup.com, steffesgroup.com. You say, I want to talk to somebody, Pam. I'm not all about this web. Well, they understand. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group along with us. We've been talking about the pace of sales and what's going on out there. One really valuable piece of information that many buyers will likely want to see, and then again, sellers too, how items are selling. Ashley, you and I both know there's a lot of anxiety out there about commodity prices, input costs for 2026. You might think that would put a damper on volume of sales, prices at sales. You've got what was hot in August, don't you?
Yeah, we do. So that we put out a top 10 every month. And so right now we got the August ones on there, and there's some good comparables to start looking at. You know, if you're looking to price your own equipment and things like that, one of them happens to be a forage harvester, and we've got a nice Klaus Jaguar. It's a 2018 model that sold for $209,000 and had just under 2,000 engine and 1,500 separator hours. And then combines, of course, we're selling those all the time, it seems. And we got a S770, a 24 model that sold for $350,000 on there. So, you know, take a look at that. You know, I know harvest is going to be starting or you're dipping in the field now, but you know, you can always just scroll on your phone when you get a chance and take a look at some of the prices.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I mean, people may not realize how many hours a farmer will spend in a cab of one type or another. And if things are going smooth and you do have that extra time, maybe as the harvest progresses, you're sitting in line at the elevator. The StephisGroup.com website, very friendly on your mobile side of things. StephisGroup.com, STEFFES Group. .com. Or you can always pick up the phone. I don't know what 24 hours, you guys work long hours, but I don't think that they're necessarily 24 hours like a farmer may be during the harvest. But call them and leave a message if nothing else. 800-726-8609. 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group. Take a look at that top 10 from August. And if there's something there that strikes your fancy, take a look at current and active sales. Do the sorting on the StephisGroup.com website, and you're set. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
Thank you, Pam. And don't go anywhere, because coming up next, Kylie Allen talks with Josie Bailey, the 2025 National Guernsey Queen. And we take a look at the markets.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes. Power Core Enlist beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Now, before we get to the markets, let's listen in to Kylie Allen and Josie Bailey, the 2025 National Guernsey Queen. Take it away, Kylie.
There's royalty living in Tomah, Wisconsin. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and I'm talking today to Josie Bailey. She's the 2025 National Guernsey Queen. She tells us about the path that she took that led her to the Guernsey breed.
So I grew up on my family's fifth-generation dairy farm, Bailey's Cherry Valley Dairy, and we're mostly Holstein herd. I didn't get into the Guernsey breed up until about going on 3 years ago. I bought my first Guernsey, and I had the opportunity to work with a Guernsey at the Wisconsin State Fair. Izzy Mason had won the SA Calf in 2019 and then was able to show her Guernsey as a yearling at the Wisconsin State Fair. And that was kind of my first one-on-one interaction with a Guernsey, and I fell in love. And I was just waiting for the right time to be able to purchase my own, just because my parents are like, you can get a Guernsey, but you have to buy it yourself. Just they wanted me to be able to make the purchase and the breeding choices for my animal and to be financially ready for that. So I really appreciate my parents doing that. So in, I believe, April of 2024, I was able to purchase my first Guernsey from David Brandel up in Rice Lake, who is also named the Pioneer, or not Pioneer, essentially the master breeder for Wisconsin. So that means he has bred so many animals that have done well either in the show ring or for production that he was recognized at the state level for it. So he was named the Pioneer Breeder this year for Wisconsin.
And is that Pioneer Breeder something that is on your bucket list?
I'm hoping someday to have that opportunity to be considered for it. Just as I started my Guernsey here going on 2 years ago, I have 11 animals now. So my Guernsey herd has definitely grown. I've been able to make purchases and breed animals, but it's definitely on my bucket list. I don't know if I have enough animals yet, but hopefully someday.
And walk me through those breeding decisions that you're making.
So each of my Guernseys are very different, whether it comes to age or even just how they're built. I really like to go on an individual basis. So as you know, Guernseys sometimes do have leg issues. That's kind of a breed characteristic where they can be sickled or have hocks issues and all that. So a few of my older Guernseys do have that. So I like to look at the traits when it comes to their legs and pasture and just to know what I'm going to be working with, as I do want to improve the breed every time I do breed the animal. So my Guernseys that are weaker in the leg area, I look to breed them with a sire that is stronger in that area. Or if my Guernsey, you know, doesn't produce as much milk as I would like, then I go and look at the genomics and make sure that I'm going to have an animal that's going to produce a lot of milk, but also have that dairy strength to be able to have the longevity and last in our facility, as we do have freestall barns. So I kind of go on just a basis of looking at genomics. I score them myself and kind of look at what I could improve on just for the next generation, as overall I want the milk production, but also the longevity in the barn. So I do it kind of on a one-on-one basis, just because my animals are individual with personalities, but also with their body types.
And long-term, what is your goal with your herd?
So long-term with my goal, I'm currently studying agriculture education at the University of Wisconsin River Falls, but I'm hoping to get a job in the area and still be able to help on my family's dairy farm as much as possible, especially giving my students hands-on opportunities with having a dairy farm in the area. So I'm hoping to continue, you know, breeding Guernseys and having them for the long run and being involved in the farm.
And take me back to your title here. What does your year look like? What kind of things do they have you doing?
So being the National Guernsey Queen gives me the opportunity to write 3 articles for the Guernsey Breeders Journal, which is really exciting, along with attending 4 national shows. One was just in Linden, Washington. In the middle of September, there's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the All-American. And then October is World Dairy Expo. And beginning of November is NAIL in Louisville.
Josie Bailey, the 2025 National Guernsey Queen, has a partner in crime for her year of service. It's Mariah Ripley. She hails from the state of New York and will be serving alongside Josie, advocating for the Guernsey breed. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Wow, I mean, stories like this really just help to continue to solidify why Wisconsin is America's dairy land. And if we move along here, let's see what the markets are doing this morning. The downward slides that we saw in the close yesterday are continuing, with cash and new crop corn down 1.5 at 420.25 and cash and new crop soybeans down 4.5 at 10.06.5. December wheat is down 2.25 at 508.5. Classroom milk also sees those losses, with October contracts down 12 cents at 1674 hundredweight and November contracts down 14 cents at 1621 hundredweight. Let's see if we can find a little good market news next with John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing. Make sure to stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. 2 states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences, unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Dr. Kristen Lierley, who joins me in studio. Then Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin talks about fall events. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Continue to reflect what we already know, which is just the fact that cattle numbers continue to be tight. Now, total cattle on feed was pretty much 1 percentage point behind last year, 99%. You know, again, that's reflecting a number that's been reduced over a handful of years. So that was within expectations. The number that still concerns is the placement number, 91% of last year. And last year was a reduced number. So that just shows us that the cattle numbers are extremely tight out there. The market responded very aggressively yesterday in terms of going up in value. Again, maybe we got a chance we're going to run this thing back up to those most recent highs. I think a lot of that's still going to be tied to the cash market. What happens with that over the next couple of weeks? Cash actually held in there pretty well considering the weakness in the retail values and the market, you know, over the end of the week last week. So we'll have to see how things progress here. But again, there's just some talk out there. This cattle number's got a chance to move up again in terms of prices and maybe challenge it or even push through those recent all-time highs.
And another thing that a lot of people are paying attention to right now when it comes to the beef industry there is New World screwworm. It's now only 70 miles from the U.S. border. Why? What can we expect to see from all that?
You know, that's going to be something we have to watch very, very closely. Again, the USDA continues to, you know, talk about their plan to fight the New World screwworm. It keeps getting closer and closer. Now, the cat, they found one calf in a herd that was 70 miles from the U.S. border yesterday. It almost feels like it's inevitable that it's already here or, you know, but we haven't detected anything or real close to being here. It'll be interesting to see how the market reacts to that. Typically, that's been a selling point when we get those rumors, except yesterday it really turned into a buying point with this market still reflecting those tight supplies. I guess it just confirmed that that border is not going to open up anytime soon and keeps those feeder cattle numbers out of there. As we saw, the back end of feeder cattle prices finished limit higher yesterday, which does give the cattle market expanded limits today. So we could see a lot of volatility with a 1375 limit on feeders and a 1075 limit on live cattle.
And if we continue on this cattle trend, when we look at the beef on dairy cattle, what's the market for those looking like?
You know, beef on dairy continues to be a strength point and a needed point given the lack of supplies that are out there. So that's been helping out in that regard. Again, just we're in a spot now that the biggest concern, I think, going forward is still going to be the consumer. We saw all beef prices rise to a record high, just a little over $9 per pound. That's combining everything from the steak to the hamburger. And that's something that's going to be something to watch here. What happens with the consumer? What happens with cheaper meats? If the consumer backs off this meat and this on the demand side of it, this meat market could find itself some pretty quick weakness due to lack of demand, due to high prices and tight supplies.
And now if we switch over to more of the grain side, something interesting is happening with Argentina has an export tax cut on the grain. What exactly does that mean?
Yesterday, the Argentina government decided to take their export taxes to zero from their current levels. Soybeans, that was 26%. on those taxes and 9.5% on corn. And that's why we saw the big reaction in the market for soybeans for sure yesterday. Again, it just brings Argentina right back into competitiveness with the U.S. bushels. Unfortunately, we already saw China step into the market and buy a pile of Argentina soybeans on that tax break yesterday. And those are beans I think our market was really hoping were going to come out of the United States. We're softer again this morning. We got harvest going on with difficult cash levels. The soybean market looks like it wants to go down, test the $10 handle, maybe even go lower than that here just because of the supplies that are in the pipeline. And that just that lack of demand keeps us in a bearish market here on a, what we call a demand bear market.
And in the last 30 seconds here, can you give us an update on what we're seeing with our harvest?
Harvest just getting rolling. Corn was at 11% yesterday nationally, 9% for soybeans nationally. Again, those are right on the five-year average. Got a lot of moisture out there, so things will be slower this week. Wisconsin's just kicking off with only 1% of the corn and soybean crop rolling at this time.
John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Make sure to give him a call at 1-800-334-9779. And I would like to thank you for joining along with me this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. And make sure to tune in tomorrow morning for some more ag news. Signing off from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Celebrate Wisconsin's farming heritage with a special broadcast of the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. We'll learn about the Reisinger family's past and explore their future. We'll also discuss the mental health crisis facing the state's farming community with the Farmer Angel Network. And we'll talk about programs that support farmers across Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Celebrate the legacy of the Reisinger family and families like them Thursday afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Avoiding ATV and UTV hazards on the farm. Today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. A drive down a country road can be fun, but that fun can end in a hurry if you're not vigilant for slow-moving farm equipment on that roadway. Farm machinery using public roads are supposed to have signage and lights to warn motorists, but don't assume it'll be there. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. All-terrain vehicles and their cousins, utility vehicles, are common workhorses on modern farms. But like most other farm machines, there's some risk in operating them. Kurt Porterfield is Assistant Director for Facilities and Safety at the Ag College at Virginia Tech, who says there are 500 fatalities and more than 100,000 injuries every year associated with ATVs and UTVs.
I don't expect everyone to just go out and not use their ATVs and the UTVs because they are a very valuable tool. But we want people to start thinking about what they're doing, doing little things to add up to big things, especially when it comes to safety.
Porterfield says injury expenses can pile up.
The average hospital stay from the injury was about 7 days or a little longer. The amount of expenses for that stay was over $125,000. And then about a third of those patients were children.
Porterfield says his most important advice on ATV use is...
Training is everything. Extension agents play a crucial role in being able to offer some of their programs that are out there. If you can't find any of those, then I definitely want to recommend talking with the dealer.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Jimmy Kimmel's back on the air. We'll explain what it means for free speech here in Wisconsin. And Badger football head coach Luke Fickle under fire. We'll discuss your chance to win green and gold tickets in Green Bay continue.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The FDA is telling doctors to advise pregnant women not to use Tylenol because of its active ingredient, acetaminophen, and a potential link to autism. But ABC's Steve Osunsami says
leading medical groups say that there have been dozens of large studies over the decades, and not one of them found that acetaminophen causes autism. They worry that pregnant women will now be afraid to take the drug, even when they have a fever, which they say can be more dangerous for the baby.
The White House says it stands behind Border Czar Tom Homan, who says he did nothing criminal or illegal amid allegations he accepted a bag of cash during a sting operation. President Trump speaks at the UN General Assembly today. France became the latest U.S. ally to recognize a Palestinian state. Israel's prime minister says Israel will react. And Jimmy Kimmel's show returns to ABC tonight after Disney suspended the show for almost a week over Kimmel's comments made about Charlie Kirk's death. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. This is ABC News.